We recall, my dear brothers and sisters, when we were born, how God prepared everything for us. There is our mother who is expecting joyfully for a newborn baby. Our father is there. And even the diaper is there prepared for us. Oh, this is an expression of how God loved us, and that love springs from His own generosity. How God felt us, His generosity, even when we were baby. And when we were grown up, when we see the world has been prepared for us by God. Again, an expression of His deep generosity to each one of us. And we do not deserve this, my dear brothers and sisters. It is out of His own graciousness. Graciousness, we need not to do good in order for us to be given by this God who is so generous to us. This is, in essence, the book of Isaiah is sending us the message, God's generosity. Isaiah was talking to the Jews who were in exile in Babylon. Their future looked so bleak. They were punished because they turned their backs on Yahweh, who made a covenant with them. I will be your God, and you will be my people. But you know, the Jews turned their backs and tried to worship other gods besides Yahweh. And in punishment, he sent him in exile in Babylon. But Isaiah said, oh, it's now your turn to hear, to go back to God. Call on Him while He is near. He is near. He does not abandon you. For a moment, you suffer this punishment, but God is a forgiving God. This is a human logic, my dear brothers and sisters. We experience this. That when we sin, we usually run away from God, isn't it? Remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they committed the sin, they ran away from God. And so God has to look for them. Where are you? Where are you? Why do you run away from me? You committed sin. That's why you hide yourself from me. This is the human logic. But then Isaiah reminded the Jews that this is not so with God. God is so generous. Generous in forgiving us. Generous in showing mercy to us. Because without that mercy, we will never, never be saved. And this is the essence of God. He's being generous. He's being forbearing to each one of us. Unlike human being, when we make judgment towards our brother and sister, we're so strict. We're so stern. But God is not so strict as regards His justice. In fact, the scripture said that in God, His mercy triumphs over judgment. You know why? Because if God would allow His judgment to take its course, oh, each one of us will never, never gain eternal life for the sins that we have committed. But again, His mercy triumphs over judgment. And that is His being so generous, an expression of His generosity. And you know what, my dear brothers and sisters, the generosity of God springs from His eternal freedom. In other words, God is not compelled, God is not forced, is not pressured to show His love, His forgiveness, His mercy on human being. It springs, or it came from His eternal freedom. God is free to show His generosity. Isn't it that we should also be generous to Him? Isn't it that we should also be generous to each one of us? Because God has shown generosity. His overflowing love to each one of us. St. Paul experienced that, my dear brothers and sisters, in our second reading today. You know, St. Paul was a criminal, great sinner, and he said, "No, I owe Christ many, many things. Had it not been for his love, I could never attain that spiritual life, spiritual program in his life." No? But thanks be to God, to Christ's love, to Christ's mercy, to Christ's forgiveness. But you know, in this letter, St. Paul was confronted with two options or two choices. And what is that? Death and life. You know, for St. Paul, he was eager to die soon. Who of us wants to die in the first place? Right now, I don't want to die. Otherwise, nobody would preach to you about the love of God. But here, St. Paul was eager to die. And you know what was the reason why he's so eager to die? To be with God. To enjoy the presence of God. Look at that, my dear brothers and sisters. So for him, he's ready to die anytime so that he can be with the Lord. But another option, another choice he is so confronted with is life, living, laboring for the church, working for his mission of spreading the good news. But in the end, because he got that seal, his mission to spread the good news of God. But you know what? In the end, St. Paul leave it all to God. So even if I die, or even if I am alive working for the church, oh God, it is all yours. I am generous to you because you have been so generous to me. Let it be. Let it be, as the music says. So he's so generous. Take my life if you want it, or if you want me to be alive to go on with my mission, so be it. This is the generosity of St. Paul. Generosity to offer his all for the sake of Christ. We read the gospel. We hear the gospel. It seems that the owner of the vineyard is so unjust. Unjust. Sheer injustice to the workers he hired. But you know what? He was not unjust in the last analysis. You know why? Because he agreed with the workers, starting with those who work early in the morning and the last who work only 1 hour. What was the agreement? You will both receive a just wage. And they agree with it. But you know what? His generosity is seen here during the late afternoon when he saw many people standing outside idly in the marketplace. And he asked them, "Why are you here?" And the worker said, "Well, no one has hired us. You go. You go to my vineyard. I am inviting you now to work in my vineyard." This is an expression of God's generosity. He's inviting everyone, even the latecomers. Who are the latecomers in the vineyard or in the kingdom of God? The sinners. And those who are, in quotation mark, righteous people would tend to look down on them. Oh, hey, what kind of God is this? That even the sinners, they're invited. You know, the problem with the parable is that those who work early in the morning tried to complain to the owner that the owner is not just. There was envy in here. When they tried to compare themselves, the first who work, with those who work late. Usually, this is true with us, my dear brothers and sisters. We sometimes complain to God, "Why, oh God, you are so generous with these people who never go to church. When I am going to church daily. I have been active in the parish. And yet, look, this neighbor of mine, I haven't seen him, seen her in the church, and yet he is successful. He is prosperous. So what kind of God are you? You have never been generous to me." Oh no, my dear brothers and sisters. The mere fact that you go to church every day is already an expression of how God loves you in a singular way, of how God is so generous to you. So don't envy those people. And God, as in the gospel, says that, "Am I not free to use my money?" So as again, as what I have said, God's generosity springs from his eternal freedom. He's so free to distribute, to dispense his graces, even to those whom we consider do not deserve his graces. That is, as Isaiah said in our first reading, God's way is not different from man's way. God's thought is different from man's thought. We think of this way, but God has another way of viewing things. And his thought should really prevail. His way should really prevail. We can but be generous. We can imitate God in his generosity, like St. Paul, who was so generous to God because God has been generous to him.